You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
Kind of as a background on this, the one thing I've noticed as I get older, there's only a couple things that are growing on me, and one of them is around the middle part of my body, and the other thing is my forehead. My forehead just continues to grow, and I'm really kind of concerned about that, can't figure it out, and some of you have experienced that as well. Rebecca and I were in a place called Key West in Florida, and there was a thing called the Parrot Head Convention. And if you are a parrot head, you know what that is. If you're not, you have no idea. But they're Jimmy Buffett fans, and I'm telling you, there were a lot of them. We ended up in one part of a hotel where the parrot heads were staying, and we decided we probably ought to sleep at the other end of the hotel where the parrot heads were not staying. But I kind of was there a few days and got into this a little bit, thinking about this whole growing forehead thing. So I was walking down the street one night with my wife, and we walked into a place, and I found a cure for this dilemma. And it fit in, you know, quite well with the whole convention. So I got me some hair and a Key West cap. So we walked down the street like this. And if you want to get your wife pretty good, this is the way to do it, right here. And it's funny how preachers can disappear with some blonde hair and a cap. So we walked around for the evening just like this. Then I got off the plane and greeted my children this way, and my little three-year-old Catherine looked at me and ran the other way crying. And then she proceeded to tell me that I needed to take my wiggle off. She said, "Daddy, take that wiggle off." So I'm going to take my wiggle off and we'll continue. All right, now believe it or not, there's hairpiece in the Bible. And we're going to start out over in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's Old Testament. There's an interesting phrase that recurs in the Bible, and the first place I found it, Lisa, we're going to look at it today, is in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 45. And what's happened here is King Saul had a son named Jonathan, and Jonathan was not aware of something that his dad had said about nobody eats till we whoop the enemy kind of thing. And so Jonathan stuck a stick in a honeycomb and ate some honey, and word got out this had happened, and so Saul was about to kill Jonathan, his own son, for, you know, defying his decree. Let's start down in verse 43. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what you have done." And Jonathan told him and said, "I only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, so now I must die?" Saul answered, "God do so more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan." But the people said to Saul, "Shall Jonathan die who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day." So the people rescued Jonathan and did not die. Now this phrase recurs again in a few chapters later. Let me read it again. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground. Now I don't know about you, but I kind of get the feeling every day some more are falling, and I'm sure they're being replaced by faith. I'm just standing on that promise that the ones that fall are being replaced by other ones, but I'm not sure I'm winning that battle. Look over at 2 Samuel chapter 14. There's another place here where Absalom, King David's oldest son, I believe, in verse 11. And again, this same thing. Then she said, "Please let the king remember the Lord your God, and do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son." And he said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Now there's something about this statement that says there's safety. If your hair is not falling out, you're safe. If it's falling out, you're probably in big trouble biblically. But flip over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 52. Now here's a very interesting twist on this one, because King David's about to die. He and Bathsheba had a son named Solomon, and David made Solomon king, but did not make his oldest son king in this case, who normally would have been the king. And down in 1 Kings 1:52, they're trying to either spare Adonijah's life or not. And the king basically says this. Solomon said, "If he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die." So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar, and he came and fell down before King Solomon, and Solomon said to him, "Go to your house." But if you keep reading a little later, Adonijah gets executed by the king because it was proven that there was evil in him. Wickedness was found in him, and he died. But if there wasn't, it said, not one hair of his head would fall to the earth. Now flip over to Acts 27:34 in the New Testament. Paul uses it in this case. And he's about to be shipwrecked with about 276 people on the island of Malta, if you know where that is. It's a bad situation. They're all going to die. They're throwing the lifeboats over. Everything's going over. And Paul is a prisoner on this ship, and the soldiers are about to threaten to kill all the prisoners because they're afraid they're going to jump in the sea and escape. But because Paul is on the ship and he's done so many great things, the soldiers preserve everybody's life because they didn't want Paul to die with the prisoners. So it says there in Acts 27:34, Paul says to them, "Therefore I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." Now he is saying to an entire crew of people on this ship, nobody, it's not that nobody's going to die, he says basically your lives are going to be preserved, and uses this phrase, not a hair is going to fall from your head. Now guys, that is safety. That is being preserved. That is being protected by God. Now, let's see what Jesus, where he used it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30 is where it's used, but we may look at some stuff there in the surrounding verses. In verse 5, he talks to the 12. He's sending out the 12, and I won't read all that, but let's jump in at verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Never forget that. Now, obviously, this is spoken to the 12, but guys, we are sent out every day by the God of the universe as sheep in the midst of wolves. "Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That is how you ought to live. Another passage I love is where he talked about speaking the truth in love, but he says here, "Be wise as serpents, as gentle you may have gentle," the word there, "gentle or harmless as a dove." Who is represented by a serpent, a snake in the Bible? Satan. And who is represented by a dove in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So he says, be as wise as Satan himself, know his tricks, but be as gentle and as harmless as a dove, in other words, as the Holy Spirit. That tension. And I've had people, you know, hear me say this, and I'm going to say it again. I don't want to be misquoted or misunderstood. But there is a balance in me because of some getting bit by enough snakes where I am very careful just to trust anybody randomly. I believe God can turn a snake into a dove, but I want to see him fly. You'll know a tree by its fruit. And sometimes fruit takes a little while to come off a tree and to ripen. Take your time. People meet somebody, these girls meet some guy, and you know he does all the right things. I'm getting married. You know what? Anybody can get married. Who is this man? You are hooking your wagon up to this man. And if he is a flake, you're going to be a flake right behind him. And if he's going nowhere, you're going nowhere with him. And if he stops, you're going to probably stop right behind him. If you're going to be a godly woman, marry a godly man, or you're stuck behind some yahoo out there. So he says here, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." Now look at verse 19. "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Now, some people talk to me and say, "Well, if I get in a situation and I'm supposed to witness somebody or say something about God or my relationship to God, what am I going to say?" If you are walking and talking with God and reading His Word and you have a personal relationship with Him, let me tell you something, you're going to try to figure out what not to say. The Holy Spirit, here in particular to the 12, but I believe to all of us, God gives you the words to say. There are conversations, I bet if we went around the room, you've had, and later you find out you said something in the conversation, brought something up, and the other person had just gone through something, and if you had tried to concoct it, you never could have dreamed that up. And it was just God himself, because you're available and willing, speaking through you and connecting with that person. And what I try to tell people, if God's working on your side, telling you to talk to somebody, he's working the other side. No matter if they give you a blank stare, he's working it. So speak what he tells you to speak. And Jesus told them, it's not you who speak in verse 20, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Let God live in you and speak through you, and you'll be amazed at what can happen. Get out of the way. Now, a lot of preachers use this as an excuse. Well, you know, God said don't prepare, so I'm just going to get up, whatever God tells me to speak, I'm going to say that. And they can be done in about 4 minutes. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, if they called me, Jesus speaking here said, if they've called me Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Don't be shocked if you're persecuted, if people say stuff, if you are his servant and you are following him. If they did it to Jesus, guys, they're going to do it to us. It's just part of the deal. Verse 26, therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And somebody said once, whatever you cover, God will uncover, but whatever you uncover, God will cover. You got sin in your life? Uncover it. Say, Father, here it is. You know it's here now. I'm uncovering it. I want it gone. Because if you try to cover it, you know what? He'll come along and say, well, if you're not going to uncover it, I will. And it will be revealed. So he says, don't fear them. Because whatever they're doing, there's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Now, where do you get in the dark with God? There ought to be somewhere. I'm not saying you have to turn the lights out, but a quiet place. When you and God, when we have conversations with God, and he says here, okay, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Whatever I whisper. In other words, if I'm telling you something and telling you to share it, repeat it, be bold, share it. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not be afraid of people who can kill the body, because they cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him. And look at the capital H here. But if you're going to be afraid of somebody in the right way, rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the word here is Gehenna, the place of the dead. So don't be afraid. If you're walking with God, somebody takes your body, kills your body, what do they got? You're in heaven anyway. But he said, if you're going to fear somebody, fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 29, and look where this comes up. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, I've never done this bit of research, but if somebody will try this, if you take one of your hairs, you'd almost get from this text that you'd get a microscope and there'd be a number. A serial number on every hair. And I think that's what God's implying here. Not that they're actually there on our hair, but that God knows so much about me and so much about you that there is literally an inventory of hair. People say, well, God doesn't care about anybody that way. You just don't know the God I know. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you get up. He knows what you think. He knows where you go. He knows everything about you. God cares about every minute detail and watches over us. Why? We are his children. And what did it take to get us into his family? His only son had to die. This is expensive stuff. So he cares what happens to you individually. He cares what happens to us as a body. He cares what happens to you as a couple. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. He says, for just a small amount of change, you can buy two birds. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. God knows when birds drop. And if you've ever watched little birds or a kid will find a dead bird, you think, oh, too bad, the bird died. You know what? The book says God knows every one of them when they drop, where they are. If God is that detailed about caring about nature and knowing what's going on with birds, then Jesus' point here is, do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. He cares about what happens to you. All right, flip over to Luke chapter 12.
And in this passage, it's in verse 7, just a little bit different wording, but the same discourse that he's having with the disciples. Well, let's jump in Luke 12, verse 4. Jesus says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." A little bit different wording. Look over at Luke chapter 21. Let's pick up in verse 7. "So they asked him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." Now guys, look at this. If you are persecuted, you say, "Well, I've never gone before a king or anybody. This didn't happen to me." You ever been called in because you had a Bible on your desk? Or talking to somebody at the office about your faith and somebody saying, "You can't do that in our office"? Verse 13, "Whatever the persecution, it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." I said we flew in. I mean, the airports, if you've been in an airport lately, we got on the ground. They started unloading baggage. It took an hour and 10 minutes to get baggage off the plane. Missing one bag. We got little kids. They're tired. And somebody came to pick us up. And they're having to wait. So we're out there at the airport. And right after we landed, there's a scare. They evacuated the entire terminal. Planes were landing and stuck out on the tarmac, the runways, for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Nobody go in and out. Some guy had broken a glass and run through the airport and scared everybody to death out there. But I'm standing there, the girls, you know, I got my wig and cap on, scaring the passengers out there, that whole deal. And all of a sudden it hit me again. Here I am, I got a problem. We're stuck at the airport. And I'm like, I want to go home. I want my shower, I want my bed, I want my house. And the kids are running around, laying on the floor, you know, just being kids, you know, wanting to ride the carousel around and around. Of course, I wanted to do that. All of a sudden it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Fine, you're a little upset. Okay, this is not by chance. Pay attention." So I hadn't talked to this lady. I'd been going around trying to be patient with everybody, explain to them what was going on, why the delay. And finally, I couldn't find my other bag. So now I got to talk to this woman. And I'm not exactly excited because how does one bag make it and one bag not make it? So I'm standing at this little counter. 4 or 5 of us lost our bags. And I look at her and I said, "Elizabeth, would you run and get Daddy's briefcase, please?" And it was like the Lord said, "You know, I might have lost a bag because of this girl right here. Why don't you pay attention?" And if you finally get out of that mode of, "Woe is me, poor me, I've got this problem, what's up with this?" And just stop and say, "Okay, Lord." So we went through this whole deal. I got a card out, folded up, and we were done. And I said, "You know, here's an invitation." The girl next to her saw me with all these kids, and she misunderstood it that I was hitting on this girl. Like, sure, he lost a bag, he's got his kids, his wife's off getting the car, and he's giving her his phone number. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to let him just figure out what it is when I walk off. It's an invitation to church, and then they can both come. But so many times, whether it's absolute persecution, being drugged, you know, taken into prison, or if it's just an inconvenience, a lot of it, guys, a lot of life itself is about verse 13, "But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony." We are, every day you've got circumstances, opportunities to give a reason for the hope that's within you. Verse 14, "Therefore settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." God speaks. "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake," verse 18, "but not a hair of your head shall be lost." In spite of everything going on around you, in our country right now, on the plane, they wouldn't even serve sweetener. So there's this fear of this terror. You know what? I am not going to live in terror, period. When my day comes, it is my day. I'm going to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I'm going to live. I'm going to be cautious, careful, look out. But I'm going to tell you something. My life is not in my hands anyway. My life is in somebody else's hands. And the book says that every hair on my head is inventory. Now, for some of you, that inventory process gets a little easier every day. You've got to get to the place where you understand who this God is, that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, for my life. He knows what He's doing. There is protection. If you get out of bounds, even then, He cares about you. He knows what's going down with you in your life. And there is no safer place than under God's care, under His wing. Stay there. And if you're not there, get there. I can't even begin to imagine what people who don't know God, don't walk with God, don't have a relationship with God, what a terrifying thing it is to live from day to day. Because even if it gets me, even if the body is killed, let me tell you something, I'm home. There's always a fear when Rebecca and I get on a plane together about, you know, three girls, something happens to us, they're orphans, somebody else has got to raise them. But you know what? If something happens to me or to Rebecca, and we took off in Miami, and I looked over at her, and I don't know, what's not a morbid thought? I looked at her and thought, well, here we go. Anything could happen. You just don't know anymore. And I said, I'll see you in a minute. Because even if the whole plane blew up, I'm home. You can't touch me without His permission. Now that's called hairpiece.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out. RichardEllisTalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank You so much that we don't have to be afraid, and that as long as there is breath in our lungs and we're alive, that You know us, You follow us, even when we sin, Your mercy is extended toward us, and You care about us more than anybody ever could or would, because it cost You Your Son to make this relationship possible. And Father, there are people under the sound of my voice and beyond this place who are absolutely terrified because they don't know who they are and they don't know whose they are. They are on their own. They're trying to stay in control. And because of that, they're completely out of control in their lives. And until we yield all control to You, Father, and trust You and depend on You for everything, then we really end up with nothing. Father, You've put us in this world for such a time as this, right now, right here. And I pray that we would pay attention, that we would be wise as serpents and as gentle, as harmless as doves. And that as we move through our days, where we work, where we live, that we would walk with You in such a way that when You say to speak, we know that You're working on the other side and that You'll give us the words, You'll give us the wisdom, and that there will be things come out of us, Lord, that no one can refute. And that they'll be aware that it's way beyond us, Father. It's You who speak to them through us. Father, thank You that we are safe, and teach us to number our days, but to realize that only You know that number, and that until our number is called or You come back, Lord Jesus, that we're going to be here. And I pray that we would maximize every moment of every day and live it in such a way, Father, that people see You in us and through us, and they are drawn to You and Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace and the changed life that they see in us, Lord, they want for themselves. Father, use us this day, if it's our last, to declare Your goodness and Your glory. And what we hear in the dark, let us share in the light. And what You whisper in our ears, Lord, let us preach it from the housetops. Because there's a world of hurt out there, Lord, people who need to hear and need a body to belong to. Father, for anybody under the sound of my voice who doesn't know You personally, and today they realize that Jesus did die for them, they know they're a sinner and they're willing to admit it. They know that's the problem, that they've sinned, but that Jesus died to pay for their sin, shed His blood to wash them clean, that He was buried and raised from the dead to offer forgiveness of sins and eternal life, mercy, not just here, but in the hereafter. And Father, for anyone who's come to that place, may they simply reach out the hands of their heart and say, Father, I accept this gift of eternal life. I ask You to come live in me and through me, to change me from the inside out, and use my life, make it count. Thank You that when I'm in Your hands, I couldn't be anywhere safer.
And I pray for your protection and your provision in my life, but also for your plan that you would use me and use my voice, my hands, who I am, Lord, all that I have, to declare to others around me, as long as I have breath, Lord, who you are and what you've done for me and what you can do for them as well. Thank you, Father, for your mercy, your patience with us, and for your protection. And we pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.